glad to be an American. Praise the Lord. Young people, you can be dismissed if you want to go to class. If not, you can go to class and eat chocolate and drink Pepsi. And there they all go. No, you stay there, Joyce. You just stay right there. Don't go anywhere. Surprise. Now, if you have a Bible, turn to two portions of Scripture. Turn to Joshua chapter 4 and Mark chapter 14. One hand, Joshua 4. The other hand, Mark 14. And then with the third hand, turn to... I'm kidding. I'll wait till you get there, and then we will begin reading. Joshua chapter 4, great chapter. Joshua is now leading Israel, and they come to the Jordan River, and there was a great miracle that took place there. The miracle of the Red Sea was a great miracle too, where the waters parted. But Jordan River was stopped, and they went across on dry land. And you think of that, all the waters on one side, but since it stopped, all this water went away. And so they made a memorial. It is Memorial Day today, and we are going to be showing some portions of Scripture that tell us what that's all about. But we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. You may have plans for after the service, and you enjoy the freedom to do that. We had Danielle flew all the way from California, and that was probably a wonderful trip, right? In the airplane and no delays. Man, good, good. Your grandma was praying for you. But what a thing to have the freedom that we have. But let's begin reading Joshua chapter 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel." That will be something, that will be a place that somebody can look and say, what do these stones mean? And then, of course, the story can be told. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And let's begin reading there in verse 3. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head." This is Mark chapter 14, verse 4. "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." So you have a memorial in a place, and you have a memorial in a person. And we'll see that as we go through the Scriptures. There's a psalm that talks about the fathers teaching us. And so these things are passed down. We have a Bible full of memorials, amen, where God did this work, he did that work, all the promises in him are yea and amen. And so you see those things through the Scripture. They're also in our life, especially in America, there's a lot of memorials. And this is Memorial Day. Let's ask God to bless it, amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy today. May it ever be so, Lord. And there's such a liberty in our spiritual life too. Thank you for that. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. I pray that you bless your word today. Minister to each person here. For your honor and for your glory, we pray this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm no doubt you've heard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I want to read something about that. It serves as a symbolic grave for all the war dead whose remains have not been found or identified. The tomb began with one unknown service member from World War I, and today it is the grave of three unidentified service members. I don't know if you've ever on TV seen, or maybe on your phone, you've seen somebody coming back from their service and surprising their children at school, or surprising their wife at work, or their husband at work. And you see these soldiers coming, and they don't know that their loved one is free now from the conflict or the battle. And maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been longer since they've been home. And there is such joy when they turn around, surprise, you know, and everybody's happy. And there are tears of joy. Amen? Have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, it's heartwarming to see that and see the love and emotion in it. But there are some that never come home. And that is the purpose of Memorial Day, to remember those that never came back. They paid the ultimate price. There are 9 federal agencies in 5 departments that manage 131 current U.S. national monuments. There's 155 national cemeteries. I think this is good for our nation. Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia is the largest military cemetery in the world, and there are over 400,000 graves there. That's a lot of people that gave their lives for us. A memorial is something which preserves the memory of something. So Memorial Day, obviously, it is preserving the memory of those that gave their lives so that we could have freedom. Sometimes it's so easy to go through a holiday, Christmas, Easter, and have plans and all of the different things that we do and miss the meaning of the day. We have the Lord's Supper, and we do that in remembrance of the Lord. And sometimes, because we do it often, it just is part of the service. And so those things are supposed to really take our minds and our hearts. Now, there's a lot of unknown soldiers, and we owe our freedoms to them. And God remembers. Amen? God remembers all those that made the sacrifice. Again, a memorial is all about remembering what and who sacrificed for our freedoms and then being thankful, the purpose of that. Now, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And so we're thankful for different things throughout life. And when we come to a day like this, we are supposed to be focused on being thankful for being free. Amen? That's a happy thing. That's a wonderful thing to think of. And the sacrifice that was paid, we need never, never forget. That's a biblical principle. And we're to remember the good. Amen? I heard it said, some people write offenses in concrete and blessings in the sand. And it should be the other way around. Amen. We ought to, because nobody's perfect. And I was preaching in New York one time, and we were staying overnight, my wife and I, with a man that was a SEAL during the Vietnam War. And he talked about different things that they went through and all the suffering they had, and while the protests were going on, and some of his friends were killed, and you could just see the angst, you could just see the frustration in him when he talked about that. There were men giving their lives so those people could demonstrate. And you know, there's so many stories, but thank God that we're here today and that we are free. Tomorrow is a day to remember, Monday. Monday is Memorial Day, and we will remember. But today is a day to remember. Remember those who fought for a different kind of freedom for us. And that's what the songs were about today, being a soldier in the army, so we could fight the evil and the sin and the devil so that people could be made free. Of course, we begin the sermon today with the greatest price and sacrifice that's ever been paid. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. We have Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We have Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world. We have 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, here's the verse, that they which live, that's us, should not live unto themselves, but unto him which loved us and gave himself for us. So we are to follow him. Amen? He's the captain of the host. He's our king. And we do follow him. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4. I've fought a good fight. All the verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. All kinds of verses about this that we are responsible for. In 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We bring all those thoughts into captivity because that's where the battle is being fought. And between good and evil. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand. Remember when David, little David, young David, teenager probably, he went to fight Goliath and they tried to give him Saul's armor and Saul was head and shoulders above everybody and he would have been the natural one to fight the giant. Amen. But all their knees were knocking and they were all afraid. And David comes along and he said, is there not a cause? You know, can't we put God to the test? We need to do this for the Lord. That's what he ultimately said to Goliath. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And do you remember who was victorious in that? I can't remember who was victorious in that. I think David was. And he killed the giant. And because of that, he freed the whole nation. If he would have lost, then Israel would have been subject to the Philistines. But it was the other way around, all because one man took up the mantle and fought for the Lord. And the principle is great. You have so many stories in the Bible like that. Numbers, turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Glad to have visitors. If you have plans today, I'm sure they don't start until 4 or 5 o'clock. We'll be done by 3. Amen. And Numbers 32. Turn there. There's a verse in Numbers 32, and we'll read it in a minute. But it says, be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, there's no way to hide sin. Ultimately, the chickens come home to roost and all the different sayings. But it says, be sure your sin will find you out. That verse has been used over and over and over in many different sermons and many different teachings. But I want to show you what it really means. Here we are in Numbers chapter 32, and they're getting ready to go in and possess the land. And there's two tribes, the Gadites and the Reubenites. They want to stay on this side of Jordan. They don't want to go in and fight. They've already conquered over here, and we're going to see why they wanted to just stay there. But all the battle was still ahead for the nation of Israel as a collective nation, 12 tribes, not just the two staying on this side. But let's begin reading. Let's see. Let's start in verse 4. Numbers 32, verse 4. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land of cattle, and thy servants have cattle. That's what these two tribes are saying. Well, this land is good for cattle, and we got cattle. It must be God's will, you know. But there's an enemy to fight. So we go on. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them to Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Do you remember that he's saying? Numbers chapter 13. They went to spy out the land. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. You want to sing that? Okay, we won't. But that's a kid's song. But they would not go, and they said, no, the enemy's too fierce. They have walled cities. They have chariots of iron. There's giants in the land. And there were 10 of those rulers in Israel, one of each tribe, that tried to discourage the people. But Joshua and Caleb didn't. Remember the story? And so he's bringing them back to remember that. But that's what they wanted to do. Look at verse 14. "And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones." Moses rebuked them. He says, if you don't go, if you withdraw and you just possess the land here, you're not going to be able to help the whole nation. And that might sow seeds of discord with somebody else when they were so far in the land and they won their land, and then they would quit. And then as it went on, pretty soon there's not many people left to conquer the whole land. Amen? You have a picture of that? And so now they said, we get it. We get it. It was because of the rebuke of Moses. Verse 16, "And they came near unto him and said, we'll build sheepfolds here for our cattle, cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance." And so Moses says to them, well, okay, that's good. But remember this, verse 23. "If ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Because they wanted to refuse to help the rest of the nation to defeat the enemy so all could be at peace. Amen? And if they did not do that, then their sin would find them out. How would that do? Maybe the enemy wouldn't have been defeated. Maybe they would face that enemy again. So it's important to band together. Amen? So we have the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and that is really, really important. Nehemiah. They're back from the Babylonian captivity. They're going back to Jerusalem. The city has been destroyed, so they're all working to build the walls of Jerusalem. It's quite a story, the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, now, we're going to use a trowel and we're going to use a sword. We're going to build and we're going to battle because the enemy is going to fight us. And if you're on this side of the city and the horns blow on this side of the city, that is the alarm. Go help your brothers. Amen? And if you're in trouble, you blow the horn here and you can expect help from your brothers from the other side. Joab and Abishai, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 10. They're fighting two different enemies, but it's the same battle. And Joab said to Abishai, if the enemy is too strong for you, I will come and help you. But if the enemy is too strong for me, I will expect you to come and help me. Makes sense. Amen? We're all in the same battle. And so when you talk about our country and fighting for our freedom, and when you talk about the spiritual battle that goes on, we are all in this together. We prayed for these dear folks all winter, and we'll continue. And one day they're going to invite me over for hot dogs. Amen? Hopefully it's soon. But no, there's no ulterior motive because we're all in this. And it doesn't matter where you live. As you go back to California, we'll pray for you that the Lord will bless you and keep you. I think that's important because we're all in this together. So when you think of Memorial Day, you think of the Marines and the Navy and the Army. You think of all the different branches, the Air Force. They're all fighting, maybe different locations, maybe in a different style. But they're fighting for our freedom, and they died for our freedom. There are a lot of well-known missionaries. I'm sure you'll recognize some of these names. C.T. Studd. If you've never read the book, you need to read his book. But I just want to read this about him. He was a missionary in China and India. And according to his biography by Norman Grubb, in one of his last letters home, Studd wrote this: "As I believe I am now nearing my departure from this world, I have but a few things to rejoice in. And these are they. Number one, that God called me to China and I went in spite of utmost opposition from all my loved ones. Number two, that I joyfully acted as Christ told that rich young man to act. Number three, that I deliberately, at the call of God, went alone on the Bibby liner in 1910, gave up my whole life for this work, which was to be henceforth not for the Sudan only, but for the world, the unevangelized world. My only joys, therefore, are that when God has given me a work to do, I have not refused it. Great, great missionary. William Carey, probably a very familiar name. He was trained as a shoemaker. William Carey became known as the father of modern missions, and he was a missionary in India. David Livingstone, amen, is known as Africa's greatest missionary. Jim Elliot, he was one of the five killed during Operation Auca, an attempt to evangelize a people in Ecuador. And he made this statement. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Very, very familiar stories. We know the names. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you read about Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Samuel, on down the line. And we know the stories. Maybe there's only a few verses or even one verse or even just the mention of a name in that chapter. But it takes you back to the Old Testament. And you remember the story and the sacrifice and how greatly these people were used of God. But then you come to the end of the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and it talks about the others. Who are they? Anybody know their name? Nobody knows their name. God knows their name. And it says this, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments, unknown to men, but known to God." What a blessing. Harlan Popoff, he was a pastor in Bulgaria and a Protestant minister. He spent 13 years in a Bulgarian prison because of his faith. We have Richard Warmbrand. Both of these men have books out. They're tremendous books. He was a pastor in Romania, and he suffered. He suffered for Christ. And you can read that book and find that out. You have Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it gives you names and dates and places and people's struggles, that they did that for us. Well, I'm not in Romania. I'm not in Bulgaria. We're all in the body. Amen? And it affects all of us. And there are so many names not in Fox's Book of Martyrs that we don't have. I have a picture here. This, you obviously can't see it. If you can see this, you're really doing good. But this is a picture of the 12 men back in 1991 that started our first Bible Institute in Romania. This is right after the country opened to the gospel. And we would go over there. My wife and I were over there for 6 weeks, and we taught these men. Their classes were 6 months, so there were other preachers involved in this. But they came from Moldova. They came from Romania. They came from Russia. They came from the Ukraine. They came from all over. But this was our first group, 12 men. I keep this on my desk in my office, and this is a memorial. This picture is a memorial for me. And every time I look at this, all of these men, as far as I know, and I've had contact with some, they're still in the ministry. They've started their own Bible institutes. I wrote a couple names down. I don't remember all their names, but there's some names. Grisha, Yulian, Andre, Victor, Elijah, Pavel. I mean, there's just all these different names, and I can see them. I can be there with them. We would teach them from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. And then they didn't want to quit. Amen? A real hunger. This is a memorial. I didn't have time to study, so I thought I'd just bring some pictures, show and tell. This is a plaque that I keep in my office also. And this is a history of the pastors in my line. One pastor got saved from another pastor, and it goes on back, and it shows where I got saved. I don't know if you know the name of this man, Reverend George Warner. Anybody know him? He's an unknown. But he was a primitive Methodist preacher, and he preached a sermon. And in attendance to that sermon one day was Gypsy Smith. You know who that is? Yeah, people know who Gypsy Smith is. Gypsy Smith got saved. And then it comes down, and then there's a man by the name of Howard S. Williams. And he was a very wealthy man, business, but he got saved, and then he got called to preach. So you have Warner, Gypsy Smith, and then you have this man, Howard Williams. Howard Williams, there was a man in his church, or came to a meeting, by the name of Dallas Billington. And Dallas Billington is a famous name. A huge church in Akron, Ohio, he built years ago. Out of that church, the pastor I got saved under, Glenn Stockton, was in that church, and he got saved, and then he got called to preach, and he was sent out of that church to Youngstown, Ohio. That's where my wife and I got saved. And you go back and you see these people, and I keep that. I keep that because it reminds me of somebody who bore the load, prayed through, amen, was faithful in his calling, and did what he could for God so that today we come down here. I looked this up recently. I am not the pastor that started the church. I started one in Sturgis. But your history, Thomas and Pamela Bush, anybody remember them? Okay, there's a couple people that remember them. They were here from 1993 to 1998. I wasn't born yet, so I can't remember who they were. Richard and Joanne Gordon, some of you remember them, 99 to 02. That's why this church is here, amen? And it's not just the pastor, it's the people that help. And we have Matthew and Sherry Pruitt from 02 to 08, Jack and Dee Dee Whitehead from 09 to 15. And then you got this guy, Paul and Linda Delmark, 2016 to present, amen? Who knows about tomorrow? But you have a history, and that's important to remember. It's important to remember these people that gave their lives for a church, for somebody's soul. Do you ever think about the person who led you to the Lord, who opened the scripture, who was preaching the service? What a wonderful thing to remember, amen? Because it makes you thankful, and it involves you in what is going on. Romans chapter 14, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We're all connected. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, remember them in bonds as being bound with them. Remember them. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor in love. He will always remember. But what a blessing it is, because it says the memory of the just is blessed. And when you remember of somebody that was in that line to your salvation, and it's good to look that up sometime. It's good to figure that out, that you can be thankful in your heart, even though they're not with us anymore. Take your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'll be through with my introduction in a couple more minutes. Thank you, Richard. You get an extra donut today. Everybody else went? Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Let's begin in verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me, that there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. It's a little city with a few people, and there's a great enemy. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Isn't that amazing? How could they forget? I mean, they were so outnumbered. Think how black the picture was. Think how dark a day it was. There's no hope. There's no way we're getting out of this. I remember when I got saved. I won't go into my past life, but it was a miracle, absolute miracle. I have led people to the Lord that they'd be the last person in the world you think would ever come to Christ. And their lives were ruined. Not everybody. Some people had this life altogether but didn't know the Lord. But there are people that were on their last breath, their last hope, and they came and they met Christ. The Bible says here, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of a wise man are heard in the quiet more than in the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, and one sinner destroyeth much good." And so when we are in the work and we use the wisdom of God, which is the word of God, amen, and we use that to try and help people, we win the battle and we change a life. And not only a life, but then that life changes another life, and that life changes another life. And that's the battle that is going on. Henry C. Morrison. Anybody know who he is? Henry C. Morrison. Not a familiar name. He was a great missionary who served the Lord in Africa for over 40 years. 40 years. On the way back to the United States, he began to wonder, will anyone remember us? Unknown to Henry Morrison, his wife, Teddy Roosevelt, President of the United States, was also on board that ship. He had gone to Africa for a hunting trip. When the ship pulled into the harbor, he looked to see if anyone had come to welcome them back home. Thousands of people were cheering. Bands were playing. There were signs, banners, billboards everywhere saying, "Welcome home." Henry and his wife were so excited about the crowds of people to welcome them home. When they went to get off, then they realized that the people were already gone. They had come to welcome Teddy Roosevelt. Henry Morrison went to his hotel room with a heavy heart. He sat there on the bed and asked his wife, "Honey, I just don't get it. For 40 years, we poured our lives into the ministry and service. And yet we come back to America and not a single soul comes to welcome us home." His wife came and sat down next to her husband. She put her hand on his shoulder and comforted him with the words that he would never forget. "Henry, you've forgotten something. You're not home yet. You're not home yet." I read somebody recently and they said, a man has a helmet and he's protecting our freedoms and he's forgotten. And then a man has a helmet and he's protecting a football. And everybody bows before him and cheers for him. Something is amiss. Amen? Something is amiss. I think of Ken Klein. I think, man, what a great guy. Served the Lord all those years. And it's something. He was in the Marcellus area for a number of years. I was in Sturgis for 30 years. And our paths never crossed. Never crossed. Isn't that something? And yet, I pray for preachers, I pray for the work of God to be done, and then I got to meet him. And I know now why he's such a great man, because of his wife. Amen? Amen. And I do like strawberry pie. Yes. But, I mean, great lady. They served the Lord together for all those years. Amen? And we're going to have a praise service for him in the not too distant future. What a blessing. We remember him. I really remember him. He was a real influence in us coming here. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, remember Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached, this also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." What she did will be remembered throughout any time the gospel is preached. What she did. And so there's things that we do in life that people remember. Godly things. Things that help people. And certainly we mess up and we don't see. And we're prone to sin. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Write that in the sand. Amen? And write those miracles in concrete. On the tombstones of many of the on the tombstones in many of the national cemeteries, there's all kinds of titles written. I just wrote a few of them down. "He is one of them, and he is all of us as one." Another one is "A soldier, of the Great War. We have no idea who that is. Another one, and this is the most common that they find, known unto God, known unto God. I have a little pin. It's for POW MIAs, missing in action. And it says there, you're not forgotten. My father was in World War II, and he was a scout. And he got cut off from his support and thought they were going to die. I don't know all of the story. He never told me the whole thing. But he was wounded. He got a Purple Heart. But he was missing in action for a while. And the price that he paid to go and fight. Remember when the Army was all volunteer? Amen? And people volunteered because they wanted to keep our nation free. Then they invoked the draft. And nobody wanted to, well, not nobody, but a lot of people did not want to go. And they went because they had to go. Here we are. We're in a church. We know where the battle is. We know who to fight, not each other, amen, but the devil. And so we want to be victorious in a local church, in an area, in a state, in a country. And like it said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that those are our marching orders, amen? And so we want to be involved in that. It's so important. Galatians 4:9, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Everyone here is known. There's a song that wasn't in our hymn book, but it has a great message. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Remember Numbers 32. Moses had to say something so somebody could see something and help the rest of the tribes win the victory. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me unto God? And then the last verse. Sure, I must fight if I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Amen. Somebody paid the price so you could hear the gospel, so that we would have a Bible in our hands. Amen. And we can water it down in history, and we can say, well, that wasn't just for me. It would have been, and it is. And we have to think of it like that, because God in his providence, in his mercy, amen, we were in touch with the gospel. Back to the memorial, back to the tomb of the unknown soldier. The tomb of the unknown soldier is guarded 24 hours a day by members of a special detail from the 3rd U.S. Infantry Division. It's called the Old Guard. The sentinel does not wear any rank insignia, which ensures that the guard is junior in rank to whoever is buried in the tomb. He's not condescending. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. These guards that are guarding this honor, this privilege, this memorial, of all those that gave their life, it's representative of everybody that died. They're not wearing any rank because they wouldn't want to outrank somebody who gave their life. Since April 6, 1948, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier has been guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with zero exception. Every hour during winter and every half hour during the summer and daylight hours, one guard relieves another from their post in a ceremony with the precision of a Swiss watch. They take that serious. You ought to read about it, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, because there's such gratitude, or there should be. That gratitude ought to filter down to where we're sitting today. Amen? We're free. We're free because somebody paid the price. And what about our spiritual freedom? Oh, we can look at the people are getting on ancestry.com and where did I come from and what country was it, would be a good idea to see that spiritual line in your life. Well, my mom, well, my dad, well, my neighbor knocked on my door. I remember going to Sunday school and that faithful Sunday school teacher. Amen. Putting that gospel message so that I could be saved. What a blessing. What a blessing. And it will make you filled with gratitude because it's the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And I believe this. I'll give you three statements and then we'll close. Guard the memory. Protect the memorial and honor the day. Amen. Honor the day. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you're thankful for your freedom, that's a great thing. That's a great gift. We ought not take it for granted. We are living the life we are, enjoying the things we have because of that freedom. I've been in a lot of communist countries. This is different. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand this joy that comes from thinking about the day you got saved. Maybe that day hasn't taken place yet. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. All you have to do is ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and be your Savior and give you a home in heaven. And He will come into you and live with you. It's such an amazing thing. The Spirit of God will dwell in you. What a blessing that is. All you have to do, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you pray silently in your heart, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please save me. Please give me a home in heaven. I mean it sincerely. Amen. He will do that for you. He will do that.